Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
And good morning to you. This is the service where people will stroll in a half hour who didn't change their clocks. It's also the service really that ushers in the fall and the harvest season. And I'm just appreciating the beautiful cornucopias that William Abel back there put on our stage and the lovely colors. This banner in the back is made up from fabric from Indonesia. It's truly very beautiful. So thank you very much, William, and I hope you enjoy it. See. Now, our topic for November, as you may know, we have a new focus every month. Our focus for November is freedom from fear and error thinking. And there is an article in the bulletin I want to read and could follow along if you want. It says, sickness, poverty, homelessness, and unhappiness are very real experiences of human life. What causes these experiences? Oh, we may never be able to fully and satisfactorily answer this question. Metaphysics, that's our faith tradition, invites us to consider that everything that exists is a result of individual and combined use of the creative power within us. Dr. Ernest Holmes writes in Living the Science of Mind, the book that we're using all year, and it's on page 354, that we do not deny that people experience what we call evil. For such a denial would be absurd and would place us in a position of saying that everything we do not like does not exist. People actually do suffer physical and mental pains. Well, we all know that. The goal of metaphysics is to raise the consciousness of the planet one person at a time so that these experiences are addressed, so that we help each other and learn to use the creative power within us to design a way of life that is characterized by shared resources, forgiveness, compassion, and every other good thing. Dr. Holmes charges us with a bold assignment to no longer feed our imagination with ideas that result in the pain and suffering of our fellow beings. The origin of evil, he writes, is in the human mind. And the belief in the devil, hell, purgatory, and limbo has its origin in the human mind. And nowhere else. That's the good news. It really is. This belief must be erased from the mind. We must come to know that there can be no ultimate evil. We must have the assurance that evil will disappear from our experience in such a degree as we no longer feed it with our imagination, or with thoughts or acts that create situations that encourage it. Oh, that's good. You know, our movement, Centers for Spiritual Living, has a position. It's called the Community Spiritual Leader. It's our spiritual guide, our leader. And it's currently occupied by Dr. Ken Gordon, and I do not envy him. It's a very challenging position because this person gets to comment on and articulate our movement's position on controversial issues, from the tame ones like meditation and tithing to the really gritty, challenging ones, the ones that typically divide us, you know, like climate change and same gender marriage and human rights and the obligation of faith traditions, communities, to support them and advocate for them, and things such as shootings in synagogues and such things as environmental stewardship and homelessness. Now, imagine with me for a moment that you had that position. Imagine trying to speak for a whole movement of people like us, who are typically radical individuals and who are non-conforming by their nature and unlikely to agree on much at all, especially about subjects that are so emotionally charged. You know, the subjects that bring up the discussion about what is right and what is wrong and where does freedom come in and liberty and rights and choices, you know, like with this upcoming election on Tuesday. You know, I think I must have spent hours reading over the complicated, sometimes confusing language of propositions, reviewing the voting records of judicial nominees, and trying to understand the implication of making one choice over the other. Did I understand it correctly? That's an investment of time I am glad to make. It's an investment of time in my own consciousness and in my nation's future, because I don't want to accept anything without questioning it. This is what I learned here. Science of mind taught me to value thinking for myself and not to accept an idea just because it is popular or just because the community spiritual leader said it or just because our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said it or just because it is written in an ancient book or for whatever reason, but instead to think for myself. And that is why we tend not to tell people what to vote for. But we do tell people about the unity of all life and about the divinity that flows through all without exception, and about our intrinsic, essential nature of wholeness that compels us to treat each other with dignity and justice and fairness. And we teach that the divine does not withhold its compassion from anyone or anything, and neither should we. No, we've been preparing for these times all year. You know, if you think about what we've been studying, we have been reminded over and over again not to judge this world by appearances, but by the truth that will set us free. And to do that, we learned early on in the year, we've got to get clear on what the truth is. And by the truth, I mean the one unifying creative power that flows through everyone. And that has to be larger than my opinion. It has to be larger than my religion. It has to be larger than my way of life and my preferences, if it is to include and embrace everyone. And for me, that means staying awake, because it is very, very easy for me to get lazy in my thinking and go with the flow and hide behind assumptions that I've already made, generalizations, even though I don't like it when people make assumptions and generalizations about me. You know, recently I read an article in the New York Times about the role of evangelical Christians in American politics. Now, I started to read that article with my mind already made up. Well, what I read surprised me. And it helped me understand how easy it is for me to slip into generalizations about people. Groups of people, whole groups of people. And I appreciated the reminder about the complexity and the diversity of our national profile as a people. And it reminded me not to strive for sameness, but for inclusion and fairness for all. And I appreciated the reminder not to take people for granted or to assume that my values match everyone's values. Not to strive for sameness, but for inclusion and fairness for all, with liberty and justice for all in my thinking too. So I must keep in mind, I have an opinion about everything, and other people have theirs. I've got to acknowledge that those opinions exist, because that's reality. That's how the world is. Like it or not, opposites exist within the one. And if God had intended us to all be the same, she would have created us identical. But instead, has given us the worthy task of figuring out how to coexist in harmony. Now, hopefully, this Center for Spiritual Living encourages us to think without insisting that everyone agree or think in one way. Hopefully, it teaches us to examine our own thinking so that we can become aware of what is controlling me. You know, there is a saying, and it is variously attributed to different people. It goes like this. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. Another way of saying that is this. Be careful. Be careful of what you normalize in your thinking. Be careful of what you let take hold of your consciousness. Be careful not to become hypnotized through repetition so that you get to the point where you get used to such things as shootings in places of worship. Be careful not to allow an increase in xenophobia seem acceptable for you. Be careful not to fall for it. You see, to me this says, watch out. Be vigilant. Be on the lookout. Pay attention. Stay awake. And then use your alert mind to shape your use of words and your actions. And if it turns out that you are leading a group or a team or a family or a nation, then surely you must be unambiguously clear about the power of your word and speak out brightly for the marginalized. Not only because it is good and right to do so, but also, my friends, because we too are a fringe element. Yes. We, the Center for Spiritual Living, we are a minority religion with a tremendous privilege. We have the privilege of not suffering discrimination because we are different. Oh, we must be careful. Also, we must be careful of thinking that science of mind people ought not to talk about politics. Our founder said 100 years ago, Above all others, students of this spiritual philosophy should enter into the business world, into educational vocations, into politics, into every walk of life, and in those positions prove that they are not children of humanity, but children of God. You know, and then he goes on to say in that same little book, you know, Creative Mind, the 1918 book, he goes on to say, do not hesitate to enter into life. He calls it the game of life. But to do so with a zest and enthusiasm that overflows with life. Fill yourself with the radiance of a life running over with power and usefulness, and then the world will see your light. And you do that not just for yourself. We do that not just for ourselves, but for everyone. Especially for those who do not have the privilege and freedom and safety that we enjoy despite our minority status. You know, up until just a few years ago, the World Parliament of Religions didn't even know that we existed. Now, the topic for today is the fruits of good and evil. So let me talk about evil for a little bit. Science of mind does not teach that there is an ultimate evil power. It does not teach that evil is a person or a place. It teaches instead that evil is a very real experience that we may have. Because within the wholeness idea, evil must remain a possibility. If we are to be free, we must have that possibility. We must have the possibility to also not choose it. Within the state of ultimate possibility, there exists the possibility to create havoc or harmony. The potential to heal or to harm. And what makes the difference between one path over the other is our ability to choose. Or maybe we should say, our obligation to choose. One person said to me, there is one area in which we are not free. We cannot not choose. Even if I choose to not vote, I will have chosen to be voiceless. Even if I choose not to speak up for the marginalized, I will have chosen. And I will have chosen on the side of oppression. Stay alert, Edward. Stay awake. And don't be fooled into thinking that just because everything is possible, that everything is a great idea. It ain't so. Be very careful of oversimplifying the truth of oneness by saying, it's all good. Oh, it's more complicated than that. Or like it says in 1 Corinthians 10, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. Or another way of saying that, all things are possible, but not all things are advisable. So you and I can do anything that we want. That is the nature of freedom. But just because it is possible doesn't mean that it is beneficial. You know, just because it's possible to cheat, just because it is possible to use foul language in a public setting, just because it's possible to gossip and to be mean-spirited or to be sarcastic about people who are disabled or rude about agenda doesn't necessarily mean that it will deliver to us a world that works for everyone. Now, sometimes I rationalize because I say other people are doing it. Maybe you too. You know, I'll say, you know, everyone's doing it. Why? Maybe you say, if somebody says, oh, Dr. Edward's doing it. Or somebody might say, the practitioners are doing it. Or somebody says, well, if the president does it, surely I can get away with it too. Now, well, let me talk to you about karma. There are all kinds of karma. Personal immediate karma, that is the consequences that I am creating right now as I speak and think. Personal past karma, the consequences that were created as a result of some past action, probably even in past incarnations. And there is group karma with its universal consequences. Yes, I'm accountable for my own actions and you for yours. Doesn't stop there. I must accept that my actions are creating consequences for everyone. I do not live in a vacuum. And that is why we focus our thoughts on the unity of all life here. And that is why we teach about the divinity that flows through all without exception. And that's why we think about and try to absorb the understanding of our intrinsic, essential nature of wholeness. You know, that nature that compels us to treat each other with dignity and justice and fairness. And that's why we strive to not withhold compassion from anyone so as to put in place a new set of consequences. Story time from the Christian Science Monitor, a very, very old edition, 2006. When his house was bombed, Martin Luther King rushed home from his church on Dexter Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama. He had been preaching and leading a meeting in support of nonviolence. Miraculously, his family hadn't been hurt. Yet, who knew what would happen next? Was this the first of a series of attacks? Would the next hour bring a mob rampaging through the streets? Frightened and angry, a crowd grew in his front yard. Dr. King stepped onto his front porch and addressed the mass of people willing to defend him and his family. No one would have blamed him for resorting to armed protection. Instead, he urged restraint. He told the crowd to go home and put away their weapons. Those whom he asked to stay the night to watchfully protect his home were told to not have any guns. In the face of violence, Dr. King stuck firmly to his message of nonviolent response and relied on the superior power of love to ultimately defeat hatred. King preached and practiced the biblical concept of love your enemies. It was more than conviction in the scriptures or blind faith in the word of God. King had moved beyond a doctrinal platform to a living faith and comprehension of God as love. As he said later, nonviolence is absolute commitment to the way of love. Dr. Ernest Holmes has apparently said that if we abandon the truth in times of trouble, it is possible that we never knew the truth in the first place. St. Francis of Assisi, when he was already blind and suffering and his body was frail, and the brothers were taking care of him close to the end of his life, he birthed the Canticle of the Creatures, a song of praise and thanksgiving. When you read that canticle, you're tempted to think that must have come at the high point of his life. But no. It came at the time when he couldn't even see the beauty he was celebrating. What a reminder. For during our time of stress, to turn within and find our renewed commitment to love. Now, next week, we're going to talk about fear and punishment. I can hardly wait. So I leave you with the words we started with. What's your thoughts? They become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character. It is your destiny. I invite you to breathe in with me. And exhale, letting your eyes close. In the infinity of life where I am, all is whole and perfect and complete. For the complete spirit is present in its undiluted form, the living spirit, almighty, one indestructible self-existent cause, everywhere present in and through all creation, here where we are, where I am. It is the creative power that flows through my being and the same power that informs this word of prayer that I'm speaking, reminding me in my prayers, in my thoughts, in my actions to embrace all of life and all beings and to drop tendencies to create enemy images and to remember above all to remain unaffected by the hypnotizing thoughts of fear. And as I speak this word, I am coming to my senses, my sense of oneness, my sense of hope and trust, my sense of love and possibility. And I celebrate that. I love it. And I believe that as I speak this word of prayer, even in the moment that the thoughts are shaped in my mind, that I am setting in motion new consequences that I look forward to even now. And so it is.